Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, I recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that we need to live life your way. As you lead us and guide us and provide for us each day, Lord, it's our desire to be authentic for you. Would you show us how to impact our culture for you? Would you show us how to impact the youth culture for you in your name and for your glory? Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp. I want to just wish you a happy Lord's Day today as we celebrate and as we worship the Lord on this day. You are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries, and if you wish to contact us, you can just simply write us, the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG 1WO. My message today is entitled Impacting Youth for Christ. Impacting Youth for Christ. So in many ways, I'm speaking to the church family as we look at the role of the church, but I'm also speaking to parents today. My message again is entitled Impacting Youth for Christ. First of all, let me say that the role of the parent is to parent your child forward in their faith, to first introduce them to Christ and then disciple them in their journey with Christ. Now, the role of the church, so secondly, the role of the church, likewise, is to come alongside of our parents and to help them move their children forward in their faith, almost to be a resource center, not an entertainment center, but a resource center. Now, we can still make that fun, right? In essence, the church can be a real vehicle of blessing to our youth and to our parents as we come alongside of them. But let's listen to the help of words from God, from His Word that are found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 and 12. You know these words. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and into His glory. Amen. You know, my message, as usual, is a desire to be informational and inspirational in this message for parents, for grandparents, and for the church family who are wanting to impact youth for Christ. You know, families today are stressed. They're just taxed to their limit. Families today need a support team to help them with the challenge of encouraging their youth, their children, to make something wonderful of their lives. And to do this, that means we need to encourage, comfort, and urge them forward in their faith journey. Unfortunately, so many families today are taxed to the max and are experiencing fallout. They're experiencing crisis when it comes to raising their children. I remind you of the words of Robert Orban, who once wrote, "Who can ever forget Winston Churchill's immortal words? We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills." Robert Orban went on to say, those words of Winston Churchill sound exactly like our most recent family vacation. A lot of fighting going on. The fact is, the parental challenge has been with us for centuries. This isn't something that's new. An Asian tablet written 4,700 years ago lamented with these words, "Children no longer obey their parents." 4,700 years ago, the issue was still there. Ah, boy. In 425 BC, that's some 2,400 years ago, Socrates was even more elaborate when he said these words. I quote, "Our youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, disrespect for older people. Children nowadays are tyrants. They contradict their parents, gobble their food, and tyrannize their teachers." End of quote. That sounds like he wrote it just for today. Incredible. We seem to be, and you know, as we think about this, as humanoids, we seem to be or to have both a historical and a hysterical parenting problem today. Nothing's really new. But the question is, what do we do as parents? What do we do as the church whose desire is to impact youth for Christ? Now, according to James Dobson, 80% of parents feel like failures. Isn't that sad? Their crisis of confidence, as he calls it, is affecting families all around the country. Parents today have saddled themselves with unnecessary guilt and fear and self-doubt and lack of confidence. I'm trusting that churches can come alongside of parents and to be part of that support system for them. Thirdly, let me say, I believe the goal for parenting is to raise a child that is hungry for God. You ever thought about that as a goal? Raising a child that is hungry for God. This is a God-first child. A focus on God first. That's exactly where the church can come alongside of our youth and come alongside of our parents. Now, that means not a youth that says God is now part of my life, but a youth that says God is my life, and I love him, and I'm passionate about my love for him. Proverbs 22:1-6 says that we are to train up a child in the way they are to go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. We quote that verse all the time. I remind you that Chuck Swindoll, in his book, You and Your Child, in 1977, he picked up this theme, and this is what he said. The word train up in the Hebrew, it's a word to describe the palate or the roof of the mouth. It was used to describe the actions of a Hebrew midwife who, after helping to deliver a baby, she would dip her finger in a paste made of dates and rub it on the gums of the newborn baby. Why? Why did she do that? To create a thirst and to start the baby's feeding instinct. Train up a child means to start a thirst, start a hunger in the life of that child for the things of God. Do you get it? Parents, we need to get it. Grandparents, we need to get it. Church, we need to get this. What a wonderful word picture that is. It certainly has deepened my understanding when it comes to the role of being a godly parent, a godly grandparent, and indeed a pastor and part of a church ministry that wants to impact youth for Christ. The parent is in like manner to create a thirst in their child for the things of God. The church can partner with the parent to assist them and resource the parents in accomplishing this wonderful goal. This means the youth in the church and the youth in the community as well. Wow, what an opportunity, what a privilege to impact youth for Christ. Certainly the best way of accomplishing this is by parents modeling what they believe. The church family, through our youth programs, modeling what they believe. Think of it. Parents and church family actually talking the talk and walking the walk, so the youth can see what the real deal really is. Imagine a youth ministry that will impact youth for Christ. Imagine a youth ministry that is relevant and current, and the youth come to it because it's making a difference. It's reminding them that God loves them and that they matter to God. A ministry that seeks to impress on our youth that God loves them. Yes, we have the opportunity to inform them that God has a plan for their life. Jeremiah 29, verses 11-13, I say it often, for God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. We need to teach our children that verse. We need to teach our youth that verse, that God has a plan for their life. Number four, I also believe that the role of the parent is best described as guarding and guiding their youth. Again, our church youth ministries can come alongside of our parents and to assist them and to resource them in this. Allow me to demonstrate what I mean by guarding and guiding, particularly guarding. One author told of ancient China the need to provide security against the barbaric hordes to the north. So what did they do? They built the Great Wall. It was so high they believed no one could climb over it. It was so thick they believed no one could break through it. It was so long they believed no one could really go around it. But during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded 3 times. Not once did the barbaric hordes break down the wall, climb over the wall, or walk around the wall. Each time and every time what they did was this. They bribed the gatekeeper, and then they just marched through the gates. One commentator made this observation. The Chinese were so busy relying on the walls of stone, they forgot to teach integrity to their children who will one day be guarding those gates. What a message for us today. What a message, how important it is that we learn that message. our youth ministries have a great opportunity to be prayerfully when they come alongside of the youth, come alongside of the parents, to teach them to guard their hearts, guard their minds, guard their souls for Christ. James 1:27 says to keep from being polluted by the world. Now here's the goal. You ready? 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, live lives worthy of God. This child will grow to be hungry for God as you guard and guide them through their life. A life that is being lived, a life that is worthy of God, a life described by the Apostle Paul is a life of holiness and righteousness and blamelessness. A child that is passionately in love with Jesus. Isn't that your prayer for your children and your grandchildren? Shouldn't that be the prayer of every parent and grandparent? Shouldn't that be the prayer of every church ministry? To have children who would grow to live lives worthy of God, lives that are holy and righteous and blameless. We need to look at the how-to for this ought-to. We know we ought to do that. The question is, how do we do it? Paul writes in verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live lives worthy of God. That's the how-to. Three things that parents need to do: encourage, comfort, and urge. Three things that the church needs to do in their youth ministries: encourage, comfort, and urge. The word encourage means to encourage forward. This is a picture of a coach encouraging the athlete forward in their growth. This is a picture of a parent and grandparent encouraging their child forward in their faith. This is a picture of the church doing likewise. Comforting means to stimulate one to discharge their duty or their responsibilities. First, teach the children, teach the youth they have a responsibility, then encourage them to move forward and to activate that responsibility. This is a picture of a coach speaking softly and tenderly as they say over and over again to the child, to the youth, you can do it. Keep moving forward, you can do it. This is a picture of a parent, a grandparent, the church saying, keep moving forward, you can do it. Thirdly, urging them. That means to stir up with authority. This is a picture of a coach who is encouraging their athlete forward as they keep saying, I know you can do it. Keep moving forward. I know you can do it because I'm doing it as well. Folks, this is the challenge set before us as we look at impacting lives for Christ, impacting children for Christ, impacting our youth for Christ, encouraging them, comforting them, and urging them forward in their faith. Might I add, what a privilege it is to come alongside of parents as a church family. What a privilege it is to come alongside of the family unit and resource them and support them and also assist them in whatever way the church ministry can. May the church see themselves as a coach mentor when it comes to relational impact. Would you pray with me? My prayer is that the church today would focus intentionally on the youth, on the youth in their community, and on the youth in their church. Father, would you teach us how to love them, encourage them, and urge them forward in their faith journey? Would you encourage us to, with great sensitivity and yet with boldness, to introduce them to you, to introduce them to Jesus Christ, as we coach them and mentor them forward in life's journey? Would you do so, Father, by showing us how to come alongside of them in the way others have come alongside of us. And Lord, we'll be very careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory. Amen. Folks, I shared that message because I think it's just so important. It's so important that we focus on this such important ministry of youth. But just before we continue, I want to just again thank you. I want to thank you for being prayerful. Your prayer support is so important, even as your financial support of this radio ministry is important. Now that we're in a new year, we need to continue to do this as a team. I say it week after week. If you believe these messages need to be heard by those who believe and yet also by those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first. Stop, think, and pray. Then ask God what he would have you do. And if he is leading you to support financially, would you write a check to the Good News Christian Ministries? Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG1WO. As always, you can email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And encourage others to listen to this radio program each Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on 580 a.m. or Rogers Cable 927 or online, cfra.com. Or you can also go to our website, Good News Christian Ministry, and just click on broadcast and you can find the messages. May God bless you as you consider these things. My friends, I have a special guest here today, Gordon Craig. You've met him before on the air, and let me just, Gordon, welcome you. Gordon is a member at the Bethany Baptist Church, and Gordon, we were going to talk about the youth group. Would you tell us something about the youth group at Bethany? Have you always had a youth group?
Well, like many things, our youth group has gone through many cycles. When Bethany was first established in the early 1950s, there were many young families with children of all ages. Some were of the age to be in a youth group, so one was started. Then groups have varied in size depending upon the number of youth in the church. Most recently, we have had to rebuild our youth group from the ground up.
You know, Gordon, let me ask you, why was this necessary?
Well, one of the cycles that I mentioned earlier has to do with age. As the youth of the church grow up, they eventually reach an age where they no longer attend a youth group. Also, families move to other locations, and both of these things happened to us last year. Two families moved, and they had five teenagers between them, all of whom attended our youth group. By May of 2010, the youth group had reached zero, and the leaders, Susan Brinkman and Al Turcott, were, as they put it, down to zero youth group. They looked around the church to see if there were any youth who could be asked to reform the group. We were obviously short of teenage youth, so they decided to ask some of the younger children in the church who attended Sunday school if they would like to become part of the youth group. The response was enthusiastic, and in September of this year, we started with 18 youth in attendance. The next step was to have a Bring a Friend night. That proved to be a success, and the group now has 24 youth who attend regularly.
Wow, that's exciting. It sounds as though you might have a different type of youth group with all those ages mixed in. What are the ages of the youth who are attending?
Oh, yes, some of the youth who attend are younger than those you will find in other youth groups. Before Susan and Al approached the Sunday school youth, they decided to keep the age to those who attended from grades 4 to grade 8. Al looks after the grade 4 and 5 youth, while Susan looks after the grade 6, 7, and 8 youth. This gives us the chance to maintain the youth group as those who attend grow older. Hopefully, in the future, we won't end up where we were in May of 2010 with zero youth.
You know, it's interesting that this is a large age spread. How do you keep the interest from such a diverse age spread in a group?
By dividing up the youth into two different age groups, that helps here. The evening program can then be tailored to find the interest of each group.
Okay, so how are you actually structuring your meetings when they're together?
Well, probably much like other youth group meetings. The youth arrive and they burn off some of their steam in the gym playing a variety of games, most of which they organize and play by themselves with a minimum of adult supervision. Part of the evening is devoted to Bible study. Now, when I talked to the leaders about what they did in this portion of the program, they said that in the past they had studied some Christian books, but right now each group was studying a different book of the Bible. The younger group was studying Revelations, which blew me away, and the older group is looking at Mark.
Do all the youth who attend on a regular basis actually attend Bethany?
Only 14 of the regular attendees actually go to Bethany. One goes to Cedar View Alliance, and as far as we know, the rest do not attend the church on a regular basis.
Okay, does the youth group have a name?
Yes, it does. It's called Belong. That name is a combination of the names of two churches, capital B and a small e for Bethany, and a capital L and a small ONG for Longfields Community Church. Bethany was largely responsible for planting Longfields several years ago, and maintained a close relationship afterwards. In one of these cycles I mentioned earlier, Bethany was reduced to 3 members in the youth group. We had a big gym and a small number of youth in our church. Longfields met in a church and had a large number of youth attending who were meeting in their leader's home. The obvious solution was to combine the two youth groups to meet at Bethany. This was a very successful strategy as it gave both churches active youth groups with sufficient leaders to guide the groups. This arrangement ended a few years ago, and the youth in Bethany are now considering changing the name to something that they feel is more appropriate for them.
From the current composition of Belong, it sounds as though it is open to just about anybody who wants to attend. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Anyone who fits the age group I mentioned above is very welcome. Youth of high school age are also welcome, and we would try to provide programming suitable for them. The group meets 7 to 9 every Friday evening at the church, which is located at 382 Center Point Drive. If anyone is interested in attending, they should call the church office at 613-224-5611 to ensure that the youth will actually be in the church that week and not at some outside event.
Gordon, thanks for telling us about this youth ministry. It sounds exciting, and the history of it as well as the present activities. And we certainly want to pray for it, that God would continue to bless it. Let me do that. Lord, would you just bless this youth ministry and what they're attempting to do? Would you encourage the community youth to come out and just receive that blessing? It's been good, Father, just concentrating on youth ministry today. My friends, as we close in prayer, let's just ponder this prayer. Now may God bless you and your youth and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you be grace agents for Christ as you live with courage, faith, and love in a world that is hungering for hope, truth, and love. May we be relevant. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I believe this program today has been so necessary for church ministries and for each of us as parents and indeed as grandparents. As we deal with the issues of life that are predictable, the reality is that we need to focus on youth ministry. Let me encourage you in your homes to consider to do a number of things. Have you thought about having a family altar in your home where a Bible is open and there's a prayer journal, and as your children come downstairs getting ready for the day, mom and dad have already signed the prayer journal praying for their children, and that passage of scripture has been highlighted, and it'll cause them to want to look and see what's mom and dad been reading. They've been praying for me. How exciting is that? Also, how about trying some ideas of teaching your children from Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages? Teach them how to love according to how God created them to love. How about the other book he wrote called The Five Languages of Apology? Boy, the younger generation as well as the older generation need to learn how to apologize. He lays it out there so succinctly that we need to really focus on that. I want to just put these ideas before you so that you can have a family unit that is focusing on God and focusing on building up your family unit so that each one of your children comes together and realizes how they can honor God each day of their lives. It's been so good just having these conversations with Gordon today and the message as well. I want to close with a song from Michael W. Smith, The Wonderful Cross. You know, part of that song teaches us the way it used to be sang about the wonderful cross of Christ, and yet it has a new twist in it as well. So let's listen to it prayerfully, and may God bless you and your family unit. Amen.
Thank you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.